chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, which can be found on page 973 of the Church Bible. Page 973 of the Church Bible. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Hey, Jenny. Thank you very much indeed. Wasn't that beautifully read, didn't you think? Thank you, Jenny. Beautiful, beautiful. If you had your Bibles open, do keep them open, and we're going to look into that passage in a little moment. On the back of the prayers from Jeremy, just to say that we are hosting a hustings here. Hosting a hustings here, that's good diction, on the 6th of December. So that's just 6 days before the vote. So if you're a member of the Newcastle Under Lyme constituency, all five candidates for this constituency are going to be here. So a great opportunity to come and hear what they have to say. So can I encourage you to come and be part of that occasion on the 6th of December at 7:30 here. I know you've hosted them in the past, and I think it's a fantastic thing to be able to do, to just come and hear from those who we're invited to vote for, to become a Member of Parliament for our community as well. So today we're in our second week of a series which I started last week. I'm just looking for the little flicker. Can't find it. Where's it gone today? Somebody got it? Is it there, Douglas? Or somebody obviously doesn't like my PowerPoint, so thank you. That's really kind of you. So we're in the second week of this series called Revealed, as we sort of head up towards Christmas and move into that time of year again when we just get ready. And it's great to know that next Sunday we're going to have the switch on of the lights. I'm really looking forward to that. I hope the weather's good enough for us to be outside, and I hope you'll come and join in. I'm looking forward to Bob Burt on his accordion, aren't you? Yes, because he's amazing on that accordion, isn't he? I've heard him once already, and I understand that Willie is his roadie, even though Willie's about three or four years older than Bob. Willie is his roadie and carries the accordion very, very well. So do come and join in on that occasion. But it's all part of this getting ready for Christmas. And if you've been in the shops recently, you'll know, of course, that they are getting ready. If you've watched the telly recently, you know that they advertise that all ready now for Christmas. It's just our turn as well. And I don't want us to miss what this season is all about. And no matter how many years you've been a follower of Jesus and Christmas has just become part of your routine, I just want to invite you to really grab hold of something brand new this year. You know, for all the traditions which are all worth it, for all the fun we're going to have, for all the things we do that we wouldn't do at any other time of the year other than Christmas, I want us to grab hold of something and we understand something new and different about who Jesus is and why he's come, that we might encounter him, that something new might be revealed in our lives. Because at the heart of it, of course, is this gift of God. Because God looked at the world and he knew that we needed a savior. He knew that we couldn't manage without a savior. Because no matter how many times people have tried to get back to God, try to be in relationship with him, nothing had worked until God's initiative was, "I'm going to send Jesus." And we still need a Savior. No matter all the promises that are being made and all the news items that we hear, we still are in need of a Savior. The world is in need of a Savior. I'm in need of a Savior. We're in need of someone to bridge the gap, to come and help us to be in relationship with God our Father. And so this series is really just to try and get a different view of Jesus that perhaps this year would be the view that you want to grab hold of in your own heart, and it will make a difference. And so John, in his gospel, in his good news version of the life of Jesus, very helpfully, he orders his story of Jesus into sort of seven blocks. And each block is highlighted by Jesus saying an I am statement. And I'm sure you've heard all these before. And last week we looked at Jesus saying, I'm the true vine. And that if we plug into Jesus, into that life force of who he is, then, you know what, we can't fail to grow the fruit that he asks of us. Now, this phrase, I am, is very important, as many of you will know as well, because it's a phrase that comes out of the Old Testament, way back in Exodus and chapter 3 and verse 12, where Moses is about to take up the challenge of leading the people of Israel. The bush is burning, but it's not being destroyed. And out of that bush, he hears this voice of God speaking to him, to invite him to come closer. And God gives him this great commission to go to Egypt, to go to the Pharaoh and say, you know, let my people go. And Moses says, you know what, it all sounds very good in theory, but I'm just Moses. I'm just a poor, weak sort of person. I don't have any authority. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. So what am I going to do? And God said to him, you know what, just tell him, I am who I am has sent you. I am who I am. And here we are in the New Testament story where Jesus says, I am. A massive statement and claim to make that everybody who heard couldn't fail to understand the echoes back to the Old Testament story. That Jesus is determination that people understand that he's God's son. He's his representative, the visible image of the invisible God here on earth. So when Jesus uses this phrase, then it carries that weight of significance that I think we need to understand as well. And so here in John chapter 14, Jesus says these amazing words, I am the way and the truth and the life. In this story in John, in John chapter 14, at the beginning of it, you might remember that Jesus was saying, you know, I'm going to go away soon. I'm going to go away. And the disciples, you can imagine them hearing it, thinking, what are we going to do without you, Jesus? How are we going to manage without you? Because, you know what, it's been great fun having you here, and it's been great fun going and seeing the miracles and all the wonders and everything we've seen. But if you're going away, how are we going to manage? We won't know how to live our lives. We won't know which way to walk. We won't know the sort of direction of our lives. And Jesus says, well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't need to fear about anything else. Even when I've gone away, I am the way and the truth and the life. And if you hook in to that truth, then you'll be able to live the sort of life that I've invited you to do. If you want to find direction in your life, if you want to find significance for your life, if you want to find purpose for your life, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you give your attention to me, if you fix your eyes on me, if you fix your mind on me, if you live the life that I've invited you to live, then you'll find direction and purpose. I am the way and the truth and the life. Again, this echoes an Old Testament promise given in Isaiah chapter 30, where God says through the prophet Isaiah, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So Jesus is saying, I am the way. There's not just a way. I am the way. I'm the way that you can build your life to a life of purpose and significance if you will follow my direction. So what is the way we should be walking? What is the direction of travel we should be heading in our lives? Is God providing a step-by-step guide? You know, a book that says, you know, do this, and then tomorrow you do this, and then tomorrow you do this, and then tomorrow you do this. Or is there some grand picture, some grand purpose, some direction that all of us need to build our lives on? Now, I love Christmas presents. You love Christmas presents? I opened a Christmas present last week, and do you remember what was in my Christmas present last week? A drill that I very rarely use. Thankfully, on Thursday of this week, a few of the guys from here came round to our house and used their drills in order to fit some stuff up. So thank you very much to all of you who came round. There's still a bit more work to do, but I've got another present I'm going to open today. You don't mind me opening presents here, do you? Look, my favourite colour as well. That's excellent. Okay. Yeah, me. A box of... Some of you need to go to Specsavers. Some of you are appearing going, oh, what is it? It's a box of Lego. Anybody like Lego? Anybody ever used Lego, built Lego? Yeah, I mean, it's the best toy in the world. Some of you are now building Lego with your grandchildren, aren't you? And it's all starting again, isn't it? And it's amazing. But what sort of Lego builder are you? Are you someone who has to get the directions out, the plan out, and you lay out all the pieces in a row? Yes, anybody like to do that? How many of you are sort of freestyle Lego builders? Yep, you get the box and you just build. And you've no idea what you're building, but you're just going to have a go at building it. It's a bit like life, isn't it? Do you think? Some of us, you know, we need to know every step of the way. We want the plan and we want it all lined up, and we're not going to start until everything is lined up. But there are others of us who just are freestyle, and we just want to walk in the direction that Jesus is leading us. Do you know what Lego's mission statement is, by the way? Fascinating. To inspire and develop the builders of tomorrow. That's an amazing statement to make, isn't it? To inspire and develop the builders of tomorrow. That's their mission statement. They want kids just to get their hands dirty with the pieces. There's nothing in there about following a plan. If you have a look on the Lego website, underneath this statement, it says, our ultimate purpose, listen to that, our ultimate purpose is to inspire and develop children, to think creatively, reason systematically, and release the potential to shape their own future. Who could have believed that a box of Lego is going to help kids shape their own future? But it got me thinking a little bit about, well, they're not asking us to follow a step-by-step guide. They're just wanting us to have a go. This is their purpose. This is your box of Lego now. Let's see what you could build from it. This is what you've got with life. What are you going to do with it? And I have a funny feeling that Jesus came to say the same thing to us. He didn't come to say, here's the step-by-step guide, and until you've done step one, then don't move on to step two or three. I think he's saying, this is the purpose for your life. Now let's see what we can do with it. He's come to inspire and develop followers of his for tomorrow and the next day and the next day with the tools that he's given us, with the inspiration that he's given us to help us develop into the sort of people that look like him, that follow him in our world today. You know, as we were driving here today, you know what? We pass a lot of churches on the way to get here. Did you pass quite a few churches when you come to the church here? Some of you don't because you're just up the road. But there's lots of people today who are gathering in churches all around our community. And you know what? We're in the minority. Maybe 6% of our community will be going to church today, 7, maybe 10 at a push. But we do it because we want to let Jesus shape our lives. We want to find again the purpose that he called us to in the first place, the way, the truth, and the life that he came to show us. Because Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 is, I think, his purpose for us as well. If you listen to it, he came, his mission statement was good news for the poor, was freedom for the prisoners, was recovery of sight for the blind, was freedom for the oppressed. He was saying, this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is Jubilee year. This is freedom year. This is the year of celebration. And it's all wrapped up, not in a piece of paper, but it's wrapped up in a person. Because he says, today, this has been fulfilled. and their eyes were fixed on him. No longer written down for us, but standing there. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Good news for the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, the year of the Lord's favor. And he calls us with the same purpose to take this good news out into our world, into our workplaces, into our community in a few minutes around here, into our families, to take this same good news, because that's the purpose, that's the direction that he calls us to live. You know, some of us, we're looking for a spreadsheet sort of life, aren't we? You know, you create your spreadsheet and this is day one, day two, day three, day four, and you're not going to get there until you've done that. But you know, sometimes spreadsheet sorts of planned lives can paralyze us. I think Jesus came to bring us a purpose, a direction of travel that says, you know what, this is the way. Now I want you to walk in it, and I want you to live in this way. You know, in the passage before the declaration of the mission statement of Jesus, and by the way, I think this is probably the best manifesto you're ever going to read during this election time, by the way. I think this is his manifesto to change the world. But before it, if you've got your Bibles and you have a look, before it, Luke outlines this time of Jesus in the wilderness and those three temptations that he was confronted with that sought to take Jesus away from his main purpose. Each one of the temptations that the devil threw at him in that day was to try and get him to avoid this purpose that he'd come for, to sidetrack him, to distract him, to find an easier way. Do you remember the first one was about changing the stones into bread? See, sometimes we're looking for a shortcut in life. And that same temptation comes to us just as it came to Jesus. We want a shortcut to the purpose. We want a quick fix to find the solution. But Jesus says, you know what, I'm the way. You've just got to keep walking my way. There's no shortcut to living the sort of life that pleases him, the life of purpose that he came to bring. The second temptation was to bow down to the devil and worship him. You know, sometimes in our lives we're looking for some alternative. We're looking for something different in our lives other than Jesus. And you know what? Some of us, we're thinking, no, I've never looked for something different. I would guess most of us have. You know, maybe it's a job. Maybe it's money, a pay rise. Maybe it's just a move to a bigger house for status or for purpose. You know, there are always something else that wants to grab our attention, our time, away from him. It's not to say any of those things are bad, by the way. Please hear me. None of those things are bad. But it's when they take over first place, when we're looking to bow down to something else rather than to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as the truth. And that third temptation that the devil threw at him, it was to throw himself off the temple and do something spectacular as a sort of shortcut to fulfilling the purpose of God. And Jesus said, I'm not going to do that either. And some of us, maybe we're looking for that big thing, when really, you know, the purpose of him is the living this life, this consistent life that reflects who Jesus is. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no shortcut to fulfilling this purpose. Keep walking my way. Keep following my direction. So please, don't take a shortcut. It's not the way, but it's easy to take it. Don't try and look for something else above Jesus, because it's not the truth, but it's easy to believe it. And don't try and find that spectacular one thing, because that's not the life, but it's easy to settle for it, because it may not be the thing that you're being called to. Don't drift off course. Don't look for the short-term fix. Because what happens when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we walk his way, just as Jesus came out of that wilderness, convinced and convicted of what his purpose is, then we too can find in Jesus a revelation, standing there, that this is the purpose, this is the direction, this is what my life begins to look like. So are you aligned to the purposes of God today? Or have you taken your eyes off him? Have you decided to go your own way? Or are you looking to him and following his path? And sometimes it's really tricky to know what God's way is, you know, and we sit there waiting for a big booming voice or a burning bush or some clue. But Jesus says, you know, that this is the way, walk in it. This is my purpose for you. Announce good news to the poor. You know, announce the year of Jubilee. This is my purpose for you. Let's walk in it and see what we can do together. Because in Jesus, those words have been fulfilled. And he's come to show us and to this world that there is a way and there is truth and there is life that is wrapped up in who he is. I'm guessing some of us have been a bit distracted in our lives. Things have come our way when we thought life was going to deliver this, but unfortunately, we got that. Can I just show you this? I think this is amazing. Can you see this rug here? There was a guy who bought this rug on Amazon, and he was really excited about it. Unfortunately, he hadn't read what size it was, because that was a tea stain on his carpet, and that was the size of the rug that he actually got. Sometimes life gives us things that we're not expecting. Things come that disrupt our life, that disrupt the purpose that God has called us to. But I urge you to find his purpose and align yourselves to it. Don't let interruptions or distractions or disappointments or confusions or just poor decisions that you've made along the way, don't let them get in the way of the direction that God is calling you to walk. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So let Jesus take first place. Walk in his direction. He'll guide your steps. He'll never leave you, and he'll never stop loving you. So perhaps it's time to get back on track today, to start walking in his direction, on the right path, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus came to announce good news for you and good news for me. It's the best news that could ever be. It's news that transforms lives. It's news that realigns lives to his direction instead of walking our way. It's news that enables us to turn away from the things that are wrong in our lives and turn towards his best for our lives as well. I don't think there's any better gift for Christmas than the gift of knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray that that will be the gift you'll unwrap again this year, and that you'll start again by fixing your eyes on him. And when he says this is the way, that you'll walk on it. When he says this is the truth, that you'll believe it. When he says this is the life, that you'll live it and you'll enjoy all that he comes to bring you. Yeah, we're going to go out.